Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association held its first ever awards night in New York City. Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder won the evening's big prize, League Most Valuable Player. Yes, you might say the 28-year-old Westbrook had a thunderous season for Oklahoma City. He became the first player since Oscar Robertson in 1962 to average a triple-double for a season. For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, Westbrook led the NBA in scoring at 31.6 points per game, and he also averaged 10.7 rebounds and 10.4 assists each contest. Several other awards were also handed out during the NBA's New York Gala. Highlighting most of them, Malcolm Brogdon of the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA's Rookie of the Year award. Another Bucks player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, was named the NBA's Most Improved Player. Eric Gordon of the Houston Rockets won the Sixth Man of the Year award, given to the NBA's top reserve player, while Mike D'Antoni, also of the Rockets, won Coach of the Year. Draymond Green of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors was named the Defensive Player of the Year. Also, Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets won the league's Sportsmanship Award. Veteran German star Dirk Nowitzki won the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award. And Warriors general manager Bob Myers was named the NBA's Executive of the Year. Boston Celtics great Bill Russell, who won 11 NBA championships during his 13-year playing career, was given the NBA's first Lifetime Achievement Award. It was presented to him by five fellow Hall of Fame centers, David Robinson, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, Dikembe Mutombo, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, you know, he's one of my heroes, someone who helped me learn the game. If I hadn't had the opportunity to watch him, I wouldn't have learned how to play the game as well as I did. So I feel that I owe him a lot.
Now 70 years old, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played 20 seasons in the NBA, and he's the league's all-time leading scorer with 38,387 points. Kareem retired with more than a few records. One record I'm pretty sure he holds is most books written by an NBA player, 13. Kareem's latest book is Coach Wooden and Me, Our 50-Year Friendship on and Off the Court, in which he talks about his relationship with the late Hall of Fame basketball coach, John Wooden. I mentioned Dikembe Mutombo. The Congolese giant credits the NBA for the awards night.
I wish, this is my dream come true, to see our player be recognized in such a wonderful event, put in by the NBA. I hope this thing ever happened during my days, but I'm here to support as an NBA global ambassador, to show my love, to appreciate the game that I was able to play for more than 18 years.
That's Hall of Fame basketball player Dikembe Mutombo speaking at the NBA's first ever awards night in New York City. The festivities took place 4 days after the annual NBA draft and 2 weeks after the Golden State Warriors won their second NBA title in 3 years. I asked self-described hoops fanatic Alejandro Ali Danwa, author of The Boys of Dunbar, for his thoughts on the champion Warriors.
I have enjoyed watching this team, not only this year, but this past run over the last 3 years has just been historically significant if you are not just a fan of basketball, but if you're a connoisseur and a student of the game and have watched some of the great teams that we've been blessed enough to witness, I'd say, since 1980. With the addition of Kevin Durant this year, I really didn't understand the backlash. I really didn't understand people questioning his decision. Now, I can look at it from another perspective and see the validity and why certain people would be all up in arms, but it was great to finally see him reach this amazing stage against one of the greatest basketball players of all time in LeBron James, and to see them line up against each other, to look each other in the eye. I loved every minute of it, and it was one of the most beautiful displays of basketball I've ever seen. I haven't seen anything resembling that offensive execution and beauty since the Showtime Lakers. And I'm just a fan of Steve Kerr, the system they run, the way that ball moves, how everyone accepts their role, just how unguardable they are. And I'm a fan of basketball excellence. And I was just blown away by what I saw with KD and the Warriors this year.
Two titles in the past 3 years for the Warriors. How long will their reign go, Ali?
I think it's realistic to say for the next 5 years, they'll be right in the mix. Individually, when you see how this team has been constructed, despite their superfluous talents, they're all very unselfish and they understand the end goal of winning and being on that stage, hoisting that O'Brien trophy. But we know that this is a business and there will be some things that come into play. Obviously, there will be some pieces that are added. There will be some pieces that are taken away. But when you look at the way they're constructed now, if they're able to keep these guys together for the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be pretty tough to beat them.
That's Alejandro Ali Danwa, the author of The Boys of Dunbar. And Ali was speaking with me from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with the Voice of America director, Amanda Bennett, on her recent trip to Africa and VOA's Africa initiatives, including meeting with African government officials, affiliate executives, media members, journalism students, and the African youth.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America. VOA.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym. We do training. Sometimes I want more, more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao is in Brisbane, Australia, where he'll fight local favorite Jeff Horn on Sunday. At stake will be Pacquiao's WBO welterweight title. The bout at Suncor Stadium in Brisbane is being described as the biggest boxing event ever on Australian soil. The 29-year-old Aussie Jeff Horn, nicknamed the Hornet, was asked by reporters if he's ready for the challenge of fighting in front of a possible record crowd of 55,000.
There's not much difference in the crowd size, is there? Yeah, from 1,500 crowd size to 55,000, it's a massive jump, but I guess where I've fought before has been in a small location, so the crowd kind of seems louder than it is. It kind of echoes in the room, but to be in a stadium like Suncor, the Cauldron, who knows? I don't know. I've never been in a situation like that before, but I think the more pressure that's on me for a fight, the better I perform.
Jeff Horn was born in Brisbane, and he has a professional record of 16 wins and one draw with 11 knockouts. And he's not afraid to dream of defeating the Pac-Man.
Yes, yes, I've dared to dream, that's for sure. It's something I've had to do for a long time now, and even just dare to dream to get this fight in the first place has been a dream come true. So I've definitely been dreaming about that belt being put around my waist.
Meanwhile, Manny Pacquiao's promoter is Bob Arum. And here's how he sizes up Jeff Horn.
This kid, Horn, is a big, strong kid, takes a good punch, gives punches really well. He's fought some good pros like Bailey, like Ali Faneca. So I really believe that he can give a tremendous account of himself and give Manny a lot of difficulty.
Bob Arum adds that with Manny Pacquiao now 38 years old, it's tough to gauge how sharp he is as he gets ready for Jeff Horn.
Manny has been one of our greatest fighters of the era. He's very fast. He knows how to move. But remember, he's getting older. Athletes get older. An athlete who reaches a certain age does not perform as well as he did when he was younger in his peak. The question is, how old has Manny become? I talked to Freddie today at breakfast, Freddie Roach, and Freddie said that he sees more in Manny training for this fight than he had Manny training for the previous two fights with Bradley and Vargas. So we'll have to see.
Bob Arum says American boxing fans will get to see Pacquiao Horn on the biggest cable TV sports network in the USA.
Manny Pacquiao's fight with Jeff Horn will be shown free to the American public on ESPN, the largest sports network in the world. ESPN is going all out to promote the event. By far, this audience in the United States for a Manny Pacquiao fight will dwarf anything that he has done in the United States in the 15 or 16 years that he's been fighting, where his fights have been broadcast in the United States, by far. We're looking forward to an audience as large as 10 million people in the United States, and it may be larger.
That's the longtime American boxing promoter, 85-year-old Bob Arum, and he was speaking in Brisbane, Australia. Chile will challenge European champion Portugal Wednesday in the first semifinal at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament in Russia. The game will be played in Kazan, which has been described as the sports capital of Russia. At the pregame news conference in Kazan on Tuesday, Chile's head coach, Juan Antonio Pizzi, said he has a very aggressive team And that aggressiveness makes Chile powerful in both the attack and on defense. Coach Pizzi says Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo is dangerous in every way and a player who's had an incredible season. Pizzi says Chile will try to work as a team to keep Ronaldo away from the ball and stop him from scoring. Ronaldo has 2 goals in the tournament, tying him for the scoring lead with German players Lars Stindl and Timo Werner. Germany will meet Mexico in the second semifinal on Thursday in Sochi, the 2014 Winter Olympics host city. The winners of the 2 semifinals will then travel to St. Petersburg, Russia, where the final will be played on Sunday.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life. Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Tuesday?
Well, we start with a breaking story trending right now. Bombshell report alleging widespread sexual abuse and cover-up among U.S. gymnastics. This is something that's been brewing for a little while. It started back in the fall when there were a number of civil lawsuits that had come out alleging this kind of behavior, and so this report has been building for some time. USA Gymnastics tweeting out, they say, quote, USA Gymnastics is very sorry that anyone has been harmed during his or her gymnastics career. There are a lot of calls on social media today for further investigations, for people to be held accountable, to be fired, even potential jail time. So we're going to keep following that story, but a big story for USA Gymnastics today.
Any idea, Andrew, how many gymnasts have been affected by this?
From what I've seen, dozens, many gymnasts, it seems. There have been, for a number of years, these cases that have been reported. And so I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, that they're going to have to dig even further down into this, and there's going to be more news headlines about this as they continue that investigation.
On a happier note, Andrew, the National Basketball Association held its first ever awards gala in the Big Apple, New York City. Is the NBA awards, are they trending?
Absolutely. Russell Westbrook in particular capturing that MVP award. Not a surprise, really, that he got it. I think it would be more of a surprise if he didn't get it with the season that he had. But a very long and emotional acceptance speech going around social media. He invites his team up on the stage. He says the award is for them, for their support. He tears up several times. He talks about his parents sacrificing and what they took to get him where he is. Gets very emotional talking about his younger brother, who he says is his role model. And actually, the one kind of nugget of information that's very interesting here, and a lot of people talking about, Russell Westbrook said his younger brother texts him every single game that he plays at halftime. He said his brother texts him to let him know he's watching, he's cheering for him. So that was a really great moment. And then he finally ended with finishing or finished with thanking his wife, saying that she supported him and all the sacrifices that she's gone through and blessing him with their son. So lots of emotion from Russell Westbrook. You could see that he's very passionate about this award. And a lot of congratulations from fans on social media. A lot of fans very excited that he won this, including one fan in particular, a particularly famous fan. The note that he wrote Russell Westbrook is going viral. And this is what the note reads. It says, "Congrats, Russell. I got my first MVP award before my first ring, too. Keep going." And that note is signed Michael Jordan.
Wow. So, okay.
A nice note from Michael Jordan
his
going
goatness,
around.
His goatness.
Michael Jordan. That note going around the internet, and it's become quite viral. Another moment that was actually viral out of that award ceremony, Bill Russell. He got the Lifetime Achievement Award. Many people saying he was the greatest player of the night. He's MVP of the award ceremony. Because while accepting that Lifetime Achievement Award, he points at the five big men who are there presenting him the award, and that was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Dikembe Mutombo, Alonzo Mourning, and David Robinson. He points to those five men, pauses for a beat, and says, "I could kick your," we'll say, "behinds."
Fill in the blank.
He used a different word that we can't say on air. But everybody just started laughing, and they said, well, Bill Russell has cemented his place as one of the greatest in the game, and certainly MVP of the award ceremony with that funny moment.
Getting back to your comments on Russell Westbrook, Andrew, as you mentioned, he did thank a lot of people, and he kind of chuckled a bit by thanking the media. I think he's kind of had a testy relationship with the media, and he goes, "I'm going to even thank you guys."
Yeah, though they were the ones, I guess, that voted and helped to in their own way to get him where he is. So he did thank them, but that did get a bit of a chuckle. That was another one of those moments from this speech. It's about 9 minutes long, the speech, but I sat and watched the whole thing on social media. You can get the whole video on social media, and it really is a compelling speech. It doesn't feel like it's 9 minutes long. You just get wrapped up into it with all that emotion.
How about Drake, Andrew? How would you rate his performance as the official host of the NBA Awards?
You know, I think he did better than the DJing. I think Shaquille O'Neal at the DJ booth got some criticism and some attention on social media for all the wrong reasons, saying maybe he should stick to his day job or not go into music, stick with sports, because he didn't do quite as well as people would have hoped. But no, it was a good night all around. Lots of positive feelings for sure.
And I think it's a good move by the NBA kind of lining up with some of the other big sports organizations like FIFA. They'll hold their annual awards ceremony in Zurich every year, and now the NBA is doing the same.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for them, for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, a follow-up on a story that we talked about yesterday, Serena Williams. Of course, John McEnroe said that Serena, if she was a man, she'd be ranked 700 in the world. She couldn't beat any of those men. Well, Serena has finally responded, and this is what she wrote on social media. She said, "Dear John," so you know it's going to be
a Dear John letter.
You know it's going to be a good start. "Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please keep me out of your statements that are not factually based." Next tweet that she sends out: "I've never played anyone ranked there, nor do I have time. Respect me and my privacy as I'm trying to have a baby. Good day, sir." So lots of fans saying she shut him down with these two tweets. But the debate does still rage on. Was McEnroe being sexist or was he being honest? And that debate is going back and forth. People pointing out Serena Williams won the Australian Open, let's not forget, while she was 8 weeks pregnant, something that a male player literally can never do. So lots of people talking about that. But Serena's also making headlines. She's appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine. She's wearing just a pair of underwear and she's showing off her very pregnant belly. So she put on social media, she said, "Check out my Vanity Fair cover. Question, what do you guys think, boy or girl? I'm waiting to find out, but would love to hear your thoughts." So that debate raging on whether she's going to have a boy or a girl. And I love this tweet, Sonny. Somebody wrapping it full circle with the McEnroe comments. They said, "Well, if Serena has a girl, it'll only be like the 700th best pregnancy, I guess." So bringing it full circle there.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Take us full circle, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Sonny. Always good to end the show with you.
And that wraps up the June 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Charleston Mock. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Across South Sudan, Yemen, Nigeria, and Somalia, 20 million people are at risk for famine, said U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Ambassador Nikki Haley. Speaking recently in New York at a U.N. Security Council open ARIA formula meeting on the risk of famine in Yemen, Somalia, South Sudan, and northeast Nigeria, Ambassador Haley warned, in Nigeria, those who have liberated towns from Boko Haram have reportedly discovered people eating grass and bugs off the ground. In Yemen, families cannot afford to pay for the transportation of their starving children to the few treatment centers that are still open. In Somalia, some mothers are forced to walk more than 100 miles with their crying children just to find a reliable source of food and water. In Nigeria, South Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia, she said, people are not dying from some natural disaster, but from something man-made, armed conflict. Since last fall, the United States has given more than $1 billion in assistance to these four countries. In 2017, the United States has provided one quarter of the humanitarian funding for these countries, according to UN data. The United States will continue to lead in bringing together resources to help overcome this crisis. And, as we heard today, others are stepping up too, with the World Bank expanding its operations to include famine response for the first time. These funds provide food and clean water, specialized nutrition and medical care, shelter, education, protection, and other life-sustaining services. Access, the ambassador noted, remains a key obstacle. Because of war, food cannot reach the people who need it. In South Sudan, Yemen, and Nigeria, warring parties need to let the food in. In Somalia, the challenges caused by years of conflict with terrorist organizations are compounding the impact of a drought. So the answer to famine is not rocket science. The answer is that we must put pressure on armed groups to allow food into places that don't have it. The U.S. calls on the U.N. Security Council to hold all governments accountable when they refuse to allow access to help their people in need. The longer we wait to act, said Ambassador Haley, the higher the cost.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Lenor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. Oh, So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.